Hey, it's football season. Should have had a whole room full of amens. LaPorte, good job, 2-0. Nothing bad either. Got a rowdy bunch today. Well, it's Labor Day. We're not supposed to be working, right? So let's just stop. Today, I just want to encourage you guys a little bit because we live in a world and in a time that it can be really discouraging, and we can give up on the good work that we've started, or we can give up on the good path that we're on. And I want to encourage you out of the book of Thessalonians, both of them actually, some, and the church that was birthed in Acts chapter 17 out of Thessalonica. Paul addresses this church through their struggles and prays for them and encourages them. And I want you to see encouragement in this as well. If we look at 2 Thessalonians 3:13, it says this: And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Pretty simple passage, and yet so incredibly powerful. And you know, it's easy for us to tire of things, even when they're good things. How many of you guys go on vacation and get tired of vacation? No, seriously. I mean, am I the only one? I mean, just after a while, it's just too many days, you know. Good things can become bad things. How many of you, well, you're not millionaires, but how many times do we hear about millionaires who get tired of money? Money just becomes not enough. How about your kids with toys? You get them the latest and greatest toys, and even though it's a good thing, 5 minutes later, it's not good enough. It's easy for a good thing to go bad. And it's easy in our world for that to happen to you and I. Christians battle many different things that cause us to lose track or get off our path. But weariness is probably the biggest one. We just grow weary. We just grow weak. We just grow tired, worn down. Perhaps you find yourself there maybe today or before. And maybe you can encourage someone else from this message in their walk. But there's some things I want to look at that the Thessalonians struggle with, because I think the things that you and I struggle with as well. And the first of those, and there's an insert in your bulletin, but I did all of the work for you because it's Labor Day and I didn't want you to have to fill in the blanks or anything. So it's all done in there. You're welcome. The first thing is this: don't grow weary in doing good even when you are persecuted. Anybody ever felt persecuted in here? It happens, doesn't it? The church that was birthed in Acts chapter 17, if we take a look at just a couple of passages out of there, I didn't get them in your insert, but if you look at this church, it originated with chaos. It originated with difficulties, with adversity, if you will, with persecution, just as you and I struggle with persecution. Acts chapter 17, if I can find it here, says this. This is what's happening. Paul goes and he shares the word of God. He's sharing Jesus Christ with these people in Thessalonica. But there was a group of Jewish people, it says in verse 5, but the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. I love that. They rounded up some bad, there's bad characters in every place, let me tell you. They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. They formed a mob and they started a riot in the city. The church was birthed and there was adversity. There was persecution. It goes on to say down here in verses 7 and 8, they were all defying Caesar's creed, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. Oh, no. No, we can't say that, can we? When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. And so it begins back there in Acts. We need to know the origination of this church in Thessalonica, these Thessalonians that we're going to talk about. But these, we need to understand that it wasn't just then, it was throughout their history they went through persecution. It was something that they just was embedded in them, something they always had to deal with. What encourages me is look at the words that Paul shared with them in verse 3, chapter 1. He says, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I saw that passage probably 7 or 8 months ago in my study time, and I wrote it down on my desk. I have a lot of things written on my desk. That's, I'm a pretty organized guy. I just scribble everything all over the place. And I wrote that down because I thought, what an incredible testimony that I could have for you, or that you could have for me, or that the community could have for all of us as a body here at the First Church of God. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. That's pretty good. I want the community to be able to say that about us. Our work, our labor, all because we love the Lord, all because we want to make an impact, all because we want to lead others to Him, all inspired by our Lord Jesus Christ. Despite the persecution that they were facing, this was the testimony that Paul had for them. Verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you, and not only in Macedonia and other places, your faith in God has become known everywhere. What a great testimony that would be. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Imagine our faith being known everywhere. That we don't allow any of the persecutions of this life, any of the things that get us down, any of the things that, you know, rob us of that, to stop us from what we're doing. The Thessalonians continued to do good, not because things were easy, not because there wasn't difficulty. They continued to do good because their focus was not on personal comfort. Their focus was not on personal fulfillment. Their focus was not on their personal happiness, although some would tell you that your happiness is all that matters. They continued to do good because their focus was on the glory of God and the fulfillment of what He called them and created them to do, which was to serve Him and to bring honor to Him. That's why they kept doing good. That's how you and I will keep doing good. If it becomes about us, we're going to stop doing good. Bo talked about that a little bit in his thought this morning, and I appreciated that. If it becomes about us, if we put the focus on us, then we're gonna fall off the wagon of doing good. But if it's always focused on Christ, on the hope we have in Him, the faith we have in Him, the trust we have in Him, that's why they were able to do these things, because their faith in the Lord continued to grow. One more passage from the Second Thessalonians. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love for every one of you has for each other is increasing. Another great testimony that I wish the community would have for me, would have for you, would have for us as a body, that our faith is growing more and more is yours. If it isn't, that's something that needs to be happening. You need to get plugged into our midweek Bible study or something. You need to be growing, and the love for everyone should be increasing. The community needs to see that. The community there needed to see it. The community we live in needs to see that. Persecution will happen for everyone. Paul told the Thessalonians that Christians are destined to be persecuted. Some of you know the verse in 2 Timothy. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That is the reality of being a follower. So when that comes your way, it's not something we get upset about or mad about or take our football and go home. Instead, I'm going to do a lot of football references today. Instead, we continue the good work that we began. We continue to do what is good because we know it's the right thing. Now, we don't experience persecution perhaps like they did. We don't experience persecution like a lot of countries do. A lot of countries these days, we read about it, we hear about it on the news. I mean, where they're imprisoned because they confess Jesus, where they're killed because they proclaim their faith in the Lord, right? I mean, we don't have it that bad. We certainly have a country that we get persecuted in. Perhaps, you know, at your workplace, you can't say what you want to say, or people persecute you because of your beliefs or that sort of a thing. Certainly in schools, you know, in your hallways, your campus, college campus or whatever, maybe you get persecuted because you look different and act different and that sort of a thing. So there is persecution we face. Some of us face it in our own families. You know, I've known people whose families have disowned them because they become a believer in Jesus Christ. That kind of stuff happens. And Paul would speak to us, and God would speak to us, and He would say, do not grow weary in your doing good, even if you're persecuted. Expect to be persecuted. Everyone that's followed the Lord Jesus has been persecuted. Everyone that ever does follow after us will be persecuted. Don't give up. Keep up the good work. At the end, it's worth it. There's a passage in Galatians I want to share with you. And you can write it down and look at it later. It's Galatians 6:9. It says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The harvest, though, is not in this life, it's in the next life. That's where we get it. That's where we kind of lose our focus sometimes. Faithful believers must expect persecution. They must expect suffering of different ways, of different types. He tempts us to give up. The enemy tempts us to grow weary. The enemy tempts us to just throw in the towel. However, remember the words of James and Peter, that it is through the temptation of persecution that our faith is made stronger and pure. That is what we see in the Thessalonians. That is what we will see in our lives if we continue to do good, even though we're persecuted. The second one is this. Don't grow weary in doing good, even when the world around you is bad. And it was pretty bad around them. The Greco-Roman world was engrossed with sex. It was all about that. There was male and female prostitutes. There was stuff going, idolatrous temples and worship rituals and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. A lot like today. I mean, look around. We're pretty broken. We're a pretty bad world. And when you're trying to live a good life, trying to do the right thing, it certainly, you don't get a lot of affirmation and support through this world that we live in. Now, our problems aren't just related of the sexual nature, although certainly we can relate to these people in Thessalonica, that we have that problem as well. They compared this place in Thessalonica to a modern-day Las Vegas, is what they said. I haven't been to Las Vegas, and if I had, I wouldn't tell you, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But you probably have been to Vegas, because I know who some of you guys are, so you've probably been there. But there's lots of bad things. Lots of bad things that can cause us to grow weary. We live in a world that's got a lot of violence. Look what happened this weekend to another one of our young people. Young people killing young people. Unnecessary. Sad loss for two families. I don't know the whole story. It's just a sad thing. There's no winners. But we can find ourselves growing weary because of the bad around us. Same thing happens when we look at the drug problem around us. We can find ourselves get trapped in that or get caught up in substance abuse, and we lose track of that good work that the Lord called us to, that good attitude, that good spirit we're to have. We look at the wars that go on around us, the uncertainty in our world, the economic uncertainty. We can cause ourselves to get off track, but we're to stay focused. Don't grow weary in doing good, even if the world around you is all bad, even if it's all evil. Good is still good. And the Lord says He is the only one that is good. So we got to stay focused on Him despite all the bad that's going on around us. I know your bad and my bad might look different, but the truth is we all have bad. They had bad. I don't want you to have that drag you down. The third thing is this. Don't grow weary in doing good, even when others take advantage of you. I'm sure this has never happened to you. I'm sure it only happens to me. This was happening to the church in Thessalonica. There were lazy people there. No. There was lazy people that didn't want to work. They didn't want to earn their keep. Paul addresses this several times about the importance of a Christian who works with their hands and makes a living and, you know, does their part so that they're not a burden to anyone. And there was some just not doing that. And there's some not doing that today, I think, right? But we're not to grow weary in the good we're supposed to do despite that. We still have a calling from God that's higher than that. And Paul had to warn them about this, that, you know, he warned the lazy brother not to help them, you know, that they need to earn their keep. They need to earn, don't be idle. But we need to be careful when we let that taint us or stop us because we've been taken advantage of and we quit serving those who are in need. Because God has called us to do that. He has called us to help those who need help. Yes, we're to identify those who are lazy. Yes, we're supposed to identify those who are taking advantage of the system. But we have to be careful that we're not hardened just because we have a bad experience and say, you know what, I'm not helping anymore. I helped them and they did this and forget about it. Now I'm not going to do it. We need to continue that good work even when others take advantage of it. It doesn't mean you got to go back to that person and be taken advantage of again. But you can't give up the good work just because someone does that. Maybe you're compassionate and they take advantage of that. Maybe you're caring or loving, and so they take advantage of you for that. Maybe they know you're a Christian, so you'll forgive them, right? It's, you know, you have to. You can't judge them, and you can't, you know, they pull all the cards that they know that maybe you don't have to be taken advantage of, but you have to keep a soft, workable heart that still cares for widows and orphans and those who are in need. We're still called to do something for those people. And so Paul balanced that out with this church in Thessalonica. Don't grow weary and you're doing good. I realize some of your brothers in Christ there in Thessalonica are being lazy. Period. Lazy. You still have a responsibility because you're followers of me, Jesus Christ. That's what he was telling you. Followers of the Lord. And so therefore, your level of commitment and behavior should look different, should be different, because it is different. Paul's teaching on the importance of Christian working and supplying their own needs was a common theme throughout many of his books, many of his letters that he wrote. Of the many things Paul taught the saints in Thessalonica, the need to work with their own hands and supply their own needs was stressed a lot. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says that work with your hands and to admonish the idle. Behind the scenes of this faithful church, this band of brothers that we saw Paul praise, behind the scene there was people who were doing good work, but there was people who were taking advantage of that. You're going to find that everywhere. You've probably found that in your life, but don't stop. Don't stop the good work. Stay on course, stay on path, and your reward will come later. Let me tell you what, when you start to think that, gosh, all I do is get taken advantage of, people just use me, and think about this. The person who's been taken advantage of and used the most in the history of the world is Jesus Christ. And until you get to be him, which ain't going to come, just continue to put yourself out there. Not necessarily knowingly to be taken advantage of, but to continue to be used for his glory. Making a difference, despite the fact that someone might have wronged you. Fourth one is this. Don't grow weary in doing good, even when our resources are few. You know, you look at this passage here in 2 Corinthians, and Paul is commending them for their giving, their help. It says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace God has given in the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty, look at the wording, welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege. You hear this word? They pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. That's our first responsibility, is to give ourselves to the Lord. The second one is to give ourselves to one another. And Paul outlines it right there. Despite the poverty, despite the difficulty that they were in, Paul commends them for their desire to help. You see, they were in a difficult financial situation, and yet it says the Thessalonians possessed an abundance of, or a surplus of joy, a wealth of generosity. The Thessalonians did not grow weary in doing good, even when their resources were few. Paul's language indicates that they lived in extreme poverty, yet they gave according to their means and even beyond. I know some of us, we think, well, my resources are few, so how can I really do good? And yet our resources are many. I'm not talking about just money. Perhaps you're not a rich person. That's okay. You give according to your wealth. But you have time. You have talents. You have opportunities to serve and to make a difference. You can't say, well, you know, I'd like to do that good work, but my resources are few. Your resources are the exact same as the person next to you. Other than perhaps the financial part of it, the time and the talent stuff, we all got them. We can all choose to use our time and talents to serve God, to make a difference in his kingdom. You know, Sue's been pitching this Wednesday night thing. She needs help here and help there, you know, in the different kids' classes. He said, well, my gifts aren't as strong, maybe somebody else. I can't really teach, you know. You know that the person in there helping the teacher is every bit as important as the teacher? Because we don't want a person in there by themselves who can't leave the classroom and take a kid to the bathroom and that sort of thing. So the value that you have, even as a second or a third person in there, even if you're not gifted to be that teacher, you don't have the super talent that you think somebody else has, you still have a lot to offer. A lot to offer. And so don't allow your resources, which you think appear minimal because of maybe where you work or where you live or what your education is. God's been using people with none of those things all throughout history. That's a worldly thing that we think you got to live over there and you got to make this amount of money and you got this high of an education and then God maybe He can use you then. That's nonsense. God's given you exactly what you need to serve Him and to fulfill His purpose for your life. It's up to you though to use the time, talents, resources that you've got for His glory, for His kingdom. The fifth one is this: don't grow weary in doing good, even when others have grown weary and given up. This is a painful one, because have you ever had somebody walk away from the faith? Somebody in your life, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, that just totally went south. You know, Demas is a great example of this. He was one of those, big in the church, big in this area. These people knew him, they knew of him, they knew his walk, they knew his work. As part of Paul's band of brothers, Demas demonstrated substantial commitment to the Lord's work as a fellow worker, it says in Colossians 4:14. However, a love for the world led Demas to desert Paul in a Roman prison and head to Thessalonica, which was his hometown. Imagine Demas heading to this Thessalonica, who's already got problems, already being persecuted, there's bad all around them, and now they have one of their own. One of their Christian brothers who was strong in the Lord, who was one of Paul's band of brothers, leave Paul in prison and come back to Thessalonica having walked away from the faith. Talk about discouraging. Talk about let the air out of your balloon. Talk about, geez, you lose one off the good team, off the right team. It happens. One of the 12 that Jesus chose, Judas, he walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he walked away from the faith. It happens, and it can be discouraging, and perhaps you have seen that in your life, but you can't allow that to cause you to grow weary in what you know you need to be doing. You got to stay the course. Sometimes people in our lives will go sideways or go south for a season. We got to love them, and we got to pray for them. Jim Cimbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn, New York, pretty fitting. He had a daughter that went off on drugs and went really south for years, and he had to just let her go and just pray for her, and the church prayed for her. And I can relate to that story. I've had a son struggle for about 4 years now, 4.5 years with the same battle, and it can cause you to grow weary. It can cause you to want to give up. It can cause you to just be too tired to throw in the towel. But that person needs you not to. And so if one of your friends or family members has walked away from the faith or is straying right now, you need to be strong all the more. Stick with it. They need you to do that. It says in verses 16 and 18, Paul says this to wrap up his second letter to the Thessalonians, an encouragement letter. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, and in every way the Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's my prayer. That despite the fact that we will face adversity, that we will face difficulty, that we will have troubles, may He give us the strength individually and corporately to not grow weary in our commitment to serve Him, to serve this world, to serve one another. Pray with me. Father God, on this Labor Day, on this day where we think about work, Father, I pray that each one of us would keep up the good work, that we would not grow faint or weary. Lord, that our focus would be on You and Your cross. God, You never got weary on us. You went the distance. You didn't give up. You didn't throw in the towel. You want us to do the same thing. This world needs us to do the same thing. There's not a plan B. You trusted us to share Your gospel. Father, if there's someone here who does not know Your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray that they would come to know Him. He has a plan and a purpose for their life. Father, for those of us that follow Him but are just tired or growing weary, give us the strength, Lord, to to keep up the good fight, to keep up the good work. Because one day, not here maybe, but in another place, we will receive our reward. God, give us strength. Give us your wisdom as we continue to love and serve.